worship service. I also want to greet those who may be watching on Wartburg Watch and others of our friends on the internet. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And if you're here this morning at Emmanuel Enid or listening to this broadcast, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope in the two verses that we're about to read, you will receive some encouragement from the Lord regarding living in a world filled with evil, and how it is that you and I can go through life without taking retribution against those who have wronged us. We are living in a day when the world seems particularly violent, singularly evil, a bad place. We have people in our fellowship who have had their children murdered. We have at least a dozen or two, or possibly more, who were sexually abused when they were small. We have men and women who've had businesses and they've been robbed. We've had families that have been broken apart. Wrongs have taken place. And each of us who experiences evil has this inner desire for justice. We want things to be made right. We want a judge to adjudicate the proceedings and pronounce a sentence on that person who has done evil. Now, I realize that all of us are evil by nature. I understand that. That's not our topic this morning. We who have come to faith in Christ have been born again. There's a change within us. And the mark of His Spirit within our hearts is that we have love for people, even our enemies. God has a way of purging hate from the hearts of His people. But there is still a struggle when difficult things happen to us. There is still a struggle in all of us of wanting things to be made right. I was visiting with John this morning. I referred to him last Sunday. His parents were elderly and living in Louisville, Kentucky. When a man broke into their home and shot John's father in the forehead as he walked out of the bathroom. When John's mother came to see what the noise was and what had happened, she was shot in the throat. And this man carried John's mother after she had been shot to a chair and then pointed the gun at her forehead and shot her again. Killed both his mom and dad. Brutal murder. As a Christian, how does John respond to that? Well, obviously, John wants justice. Is that going to happen? Well, we hope we live in a world where justice comes. It's one of the reasons why men like Mike Fields, the attorney, district attorney for Garfield County, member of our church, he is as much a minister of God as me and you. His job is to bring justice to our county. We should pray for him. The Bible calls him a minister of God. But the fact of the matter is, there are not Mike Fields in every county of America. And there are not people like him in places like Thailand, where there's a child sex slave underground movement, or in New York City, where there are women being abused. Sometimes people who do evil get off. Sometimes the murderers are not caught. Sometimes the thieves are not held accountable. Sometimes This world seems as if it is out of control. This morning, I'm going to show you from the Word of God that in reality, it is not. There is a judge. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that He will take vengeance on the impenitent sinner. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know Him. And let me pause right here and say, the Him is Jesus Christ. He's the one who's been discussed through the first 9 chapters. The writer of Hebrews is writing to believers. We know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. Now let me pause right there and say that last phrase, the Lord will judge His people. I know if you come from a performance-oriented background where you think knowing God is all about your performance, you read that phrase right there and you say to yourself, oh my, the Lord is going to judge me. I'm His people. Folks, hang on with me just for a moment, and I'm going to show you that that phrase is a very specific promise that the Lord will avenge you. The Lord will punish the evildoer who does wrong against you. That's what that phrase means. And I'll show you in just a moment. And then verse 31. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice the phrase, the living God, the resurrected Christ. Folks, it's not terrifying for us to fall into His hands. Because we don't fall into His hands. He reaches out and grasps us. We have come to faith in Him and He embraces us. This verse is a reference to the person who rejects Jesus Christ. As we saw in verse 29 in our study last week, it's the most serious sin of all to trample on the blood of Christ, to ridicule Him as God, the incarnate. It is a serious thing when you do that. And those who do will fall into the hands of the living God. And it is a terrifying thing. I want to show you 2 things from this text that I hope can bring some encouragement to you this morning. Number 1, to know God, that is to know Christ as He who takes vengeance on impenitent sinners, brings an eternal perspective. In verse 30, the Scripture says, we know Him who has said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Now, what does this mean? Well, the word vengeance, or to avenge, as a definition means to inflict punishment or retribution for an injury or a wrong. Now, it is a universal belief in every human being, regardless of their creed, regardless of their color, regardless of their nationality. It is a universal belief in the heart of every human being that when a wrong takes place, justice should always follow. For example, in the book of Acts, do you remember when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta? Let me read for you a couple of verses. The Scripture says that Paul had gathered together a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, and a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. Now, when the natives of Malta, these are not believers, these are pagan people, When the natives of Malta saw the viper hanging from his hand, listen to what they said. Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the shipwreck in the sea, vengeance has not allowed him to live. If you're reading from the King James Version, the word vengeance is capitalized. Because even the pagans in Paul's day had a sense that vengeance was right. You murder a man, justice should follow. And though they didn't know this God they called vengeance, they knew he was out there somewhere, and vengeance had gotten Paul. Well, the writer of Hebrews says, we know him who takes vengeance on impenitent sinners. He's not a stranger. He's not invisible. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you grew up with the concept that Jesus is an effeminate man with long flowing hair, who is always loving and gracious to children particularly, please understand, the nature of God carries the feminine in him. But you must recognize that he is more than a soft, cuddly Savior. We know him as the one who takes vengeance on impenitent sinners. It's one of the reasons when John wrote the Revelation, when he describes seeing Christ as the king on a white horse, his eyes were ablaze. His staff was on fire. You have the King of Kings judging the world for sin. Now, again, let me remind you, this is why the gospel is so sweet to us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Look at the little word now. There is therefore now no condemnation. There was, but not now. This is what Jesus saves you from, his wrath. He died for sinners who will trust him. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, but you go through life. You're around people who've rejected the only Savior ever given for sinners. Vengeance is coming for them. For this is the last phrase of the first verse. The Lord will avenge his people. And so we, his people, should never avenge ourselves. It's there in verse 30. We know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. The word judge there has as its root the word vengeance. He will avenge his people. This is a concept found throughout Scripture. The Lord will adjudicate the wrongs done against you. The Lord will take vengeance on those who've done evil against his people. The Lord will avenge his people. Listen. This movie that has taken the world by storm called The Avengers. Everybody has this desire, this sense that the world is under attack and we need somebody who will avenge for the evil being done. Folks, we know him. His name is Jesus Christ. Is that difficult for you to comprehend? That's hard, isn't it? Because we know him as our Heavenly Father. We know him as our loving Savior. We know him as the one who died for us. We have entrusted our souls into his care. It's hard for us to see him as the avenger. And I think the reason why it's hard for us to see him as that is because our concept of vengeance is so human. We don't have a sense of the holiness of God. We don't have a sense of his character. He is so pure. When he takes vengeance, it is never selfish. It is always right. It is never over the top. It is always comparable to the crime. By the way, this is why you should never get your concept of hell based upon the poetry of medieval ages. Dante had no clue what hell is like. I said last week, we don't know what the furniture of heaven is like, nor the temperature of hell, so we probably should be quiet. However, what we do know is this. Impenitent sinners who have never been broken of their sins and come to faith in the Savior who died for their sins will stand before the living God, will give an account of their lives, and he will take vengeance. He will punish for wrongs perpetrated. It will always be fair. It will always be right. It will be done well, for he is a just God. This is why, throughout the New Testament, listen to what the scripture says, avenge not ourselves. Give room for his wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Romans 12:19. Listen to me, ma'am. If you're here today and you were abused when you were a child, it's probably the grossest, vilest sin that can be perpetrated against a human being. You take the man to court. You take the person, if it's a woman, to court. You pray that God will use his ministers of justice in a right way here on this earth. But you also recognize that sometimes even the judicial system is corrupt. And sometimes people will get off for their crimes. But don't ever forget that the Lord will avenge his people. Don't take a gun and avenge yourself. Don't go after that person who has wronged you yourself. If they get off of their crime, remember there's another day of wrath coming. And we know him who will take vengeance. Now I know that some of you are here today and you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know that I want God to take vengeance. I don't know that I want justice to be dispensed. I don't know that... That's in my heart. I know what you mean, but let me just say something to you. You obviously have not been hurt very deeply in this world. You haven't, or you wouldn't feel that way. But if you've ever been in a concentration camp, and you've ever seen women torn from their husbands and from their children, and you've ever seen the cruel, gross crimes of evil men firsthand, you'll know what it means to hurt. And the scripture says, if you are one of those in that boat, you've been beaten, you've been robbed, people have stolen from you, people have abandoned you, people have abused you, do not avenge yourself. It can't be any clearer than that. You see, we as Christians shouldn't go around saying, well, this is what I think. This is what I think God will. This is who I think God is. This is what I believe. What? Ask yourself the question, what does the scripture teach? And hold to that. We know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Lord will avenge his people. Therefore, do not take vengeance for yourself. But I close by showing you this. The last verse of our text says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So if you really love somebody, you're going to show them the way of escape. You know, you can say till you're blue in the face you love someone, but you'll really know love is present when you recognize how terrifying it is for a sinner to fall into the hands of the living God, and you begin to describe for them their only way of escape. It's not the church. It's not their performance. It's not any religious ritual. No. It's Jesus Christ, the Avenger. He died for sinners who will trust Him. He will avenge those who trample on His blood. It's right here. Let me show you a couple of three things about this verse. By the way, this is the motive for sharing the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Again, you hear Pastor Wade preach about the grace of God and the unconditional love of God. You hear us exalt the incredible eternal grace of God. You hear us constantly park on the theme of God's love for sinners, because that's what the Scripture teaches us. And you've come to faith in Christ, and so we're going to fill your heart with joy for what God has done for you. But we cannot skip the truth of Scripture that it is a terrifying thing for sinners to fall into the hands of the living God. Let me show you these three phrases. Number one, it is a terrifying thing. It is the Greek word phobia. This is why when you find a sinner who has never been broken of their sins, you tell them about the living God. You tell them about the resurrected Christ. And you tell them, they will answer to Him. It is a terrifying thing. You see, Jesus may be soft and cuddly to those of us who have come to faith in Him, but He's an avenger to those who trample on His blood. Second, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice, nobody jumps into judgment. Nobody says, yeah, I want to go. No, they fall. In fact, the great theologian Jonathan Edwards, when he began to preach in his little village in New England at the beginning of what was later called the Great Awakening, he took as a text Deuteronomy 32, which is referred to in verse 31 of Hebrews 10, where the prophet says of evil men, their foot will slip in due time. And if you ever read Jonathan Edwards' message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, it is a classic. I memorized it, delivered it to Phillips for a theology class. You could have heard of pin drop. Because Jonathan Edwards describes what it means for an evil person to have their foot slip into judgment. He compared it to a spider who is dangling on a thread over an open flame. There is nothing that keeps the spider suspended but a simple thread. So too, the evil person, the wicked, the impenitent, the sinner who's never been changed by the grace of God to love people. The sinner who has never had his or her heart regenerated by the Spirit of God, softened. The sinner who has never come to brokenness over his or her sins and trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Their foot will slip in due time. And then finally, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you remember when Jesus said, "The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son"? Have you ever considered the fact again that Hebrews 10, all of Hebrews, is a testimony of who Jesus Christ is? It is unveiling the person of Christ. And Hebrews 10 elaborates on what Jesus said in John. The Father judges no one. He avenges no one. It's the same word. The Lord will judge, avenge, adjudicate His people. All judgment has been handed to the Son. Folks, I know this is not easy for some to hear, but I close with a challenge and an encouragement. This world has a just order of judgment. There is a judge who is on his throne. He came and died for sinners. But if you trample his blood, you step on it, you ridicule his person, you reject him as the only Savior given for men and women, then one day you will stand before him and he will avenge your evil. It's a terrifying thing to fall into his hands. But for those of us who have come to faith in Christ, we don't compare ourselves to other people. No. No. We know our sins. We know the smallest sin is deserving of his just judgment. But all of our sins have been purged by his blood. All of the punishment due them has been borne by himself. And for that reason we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Cal Williams told me the other day that he used to drive by Emmanuel Enid on Sunday morning, and he'd see all the cars parked. And he thought to himself, "I don't get that. I don't get it." I asked him, "What do you mean, Cal? What were you thinking?" "I don't get why people go to church. I don't get why they got a Sunday and they could work. They could go to the lake. They could spend time with their family. I just don't get it." And then God broke him of his sins. And he came to faith in Christ. And he never misses church. No. Not because he has to be here. For heaven's sake, we tell people, you don't have to come to church. No, it's about a relationship with Christ. You know why he comes to? It's not his performance. It's not what he does. He comes because he's overwhelmed by the love of God that the avenger would die for him. Do you know him in that way? Let's pray together.